It's breakfast time at Cavanaugh House on the west side of Des Moines. It's an early winter morning and cream of wheat is on the menu. Rena Wilson sits with her mom in a room that faces a public golf course across the street.
My mother, Emma Sutherland from Indianola, Iowa, has a congenitive heart failure and renal failure.
Rena, an only child, says her mother was active well into her 90s, making fudge, going on shopping excursions.
In September, things kind of crashed.
Emma's kidneys began to shut down. Fluid built up in her legs. She could no longer walk, or as Emma puts it,
I can't get my feet to go.
It had grown clear to mother and daughter that Emma's long, productive life, first on a farm, then as a bookstore clerk at Simpson College, was nearing an end. Her body was wearing out. The two of them were faced with a sobering question. Where would Emma spend her final days? They landed on a place not far from Rena's home, Cavanaugh House. Rena moved her mother there in October.
It's a real homey atmosphere with the woods and the bird feeders.
A fireplace blazes in the main sitting room. Residents can spy on fox and deer from the back deck. It's not a traditional healthcare setting. The 15-bed Cavanaugh House is a hospice operated by HCI Care Services. It offers the kind of end-of-life comfort more and more gravely ill people are seeking. It's for patients and families who are
hoping for maybe not a cure now, but hoping for quality of life, time with family, healing with family, and the power of that is indescribable.
That's Dr. Tom Mosier. He's chief medical officer for HCI. He began his medical career as a general practitioner, but he became increasingly drawn to a style of medicine for terminally ill patients that treated their emotional, spiritual, and social needs as much as their medical symptoms.
People are more than their disease, they're more than their diagnosis, and they're more than their symptoms. They're a compilation of their entire life experience, their family, their belief system, their exposures and experiences through life.
Hospice comes from the Latin word for guest house. It was originally used to describe a place of shelter for weary and sick travelers returning from religious pilgrimages. It was first applied to this compassionate approach to caregiving for the dying in the 1960s.
My name is Terry Corio. I am a nurse at the Cavanaugh House.
Nurse Corio provides the most direct care for residents at Cavanaugh House, managing pain, monitoring symptoms, giving medications. She's been there for 10 years. Before that, she was a surgery and pediatric nurse, but she says she felt called to hospice nursing.
End of life is a very special time, just like being born is a very special time, and it just deserves special attention.
Corio considers herself part of a larger team of caregivers at Cavanaugh House. It includes doctors, nurses, social workers, and clergy. And then there are the volunteers.
I do some maintenance work, home repair stuff if they need me to. I drive patients back and forth to doctor's appointments or for visits.
That's retired FBI agent Jim Donlan of Clive. He's donated time to Cavanaugh House for the past dozen years. Volunteers have been part of the hospice philosophy since the concept developed. They typically perform the grunt work around the place, but Donlan says they are often the last people a dying resident sees.
I do what they call 11th hour, which is when people are very near death and a family member would like someone to be with the family and the patient at that critical time, then I'll go and sit with the patient.
He listens to the family tell stories about their fading loved ones. He holds a hand or gives a hug when needed. This is the critical and therapeutic work behind the theory of hospice care. It's making sure people in the waning days of their lives are surrounded by comfort and love. Retired school teacher Vicki Goldsmith is another of the volunteers.
I would say 90 to 95% of my time is spent in the laundry room.
But she, too, is called upon to make the more personal bedside connections, reading to residents, painting their nails, simply talking. Goldsmith finds the work sad at times, but never depressing. She says there's always hope and humor.
I took a woman out in a wheelchair one day, and I said to her, it's a nice day, and she said, they all are.
Goldsmith says this is the sort of life lesson she wanted to learn when she signed up to volunteer at Cavanaugh House.
I think for selfish reasons, I wanted to get up close and personal with my own mortality. I think that our culture dreads and avoids aging and death.
We started the story at breakfast with Emma Sutherland and her daughter, Rena Wilson. Emma died January 16th, a few days short of her 94th birthday. She is survived by her daughter, 4 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, and the staff and volunteers at Kavanaugh House. In Des Moines, I'm Rob Dillard, Iowa Public Radio News.